Good morning, congregation. Welcome to our worship service here this morning. We welcome all the visitors who are worshiping with us, as well as all those who are following along online. We pray that we may all be blessed as we worship the Lord together and participate in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. We have a couple of announcements from the council. The congregation is reminded that the offerings today will be for the work of the needy, of the deacons amongst the needy, both locally and abroad. And also, please note that there will be a special collection next week, Sunday, for the Word and Deed Ministries and the projects they support in various places in the world. We welcome Reverend Dick Mose, the Emeritus Pastor of Surrey Covenant Reformed Church, to lead our worship service this morning.
Very good morning to you all. The Lord calls us to worship Him this morning with the following words. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. For your steadfast love is great to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. Amen. If you're able, would you please rise? Congregation, where does our help come from? Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us sing together Psalm 84, stanza 1. As church, God gives us the privilege of reflecting his love to one another and to a watching world. Let's listen to the Ten Commandments through that little window of reflecting the love of God. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or on the earth below or in the waters under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the sins of the fathers upon the children, to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or your daughter, your manservant or your female servant, your cattle or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the seas and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and he hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant, his female servant, his ox or his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. The Lord Jesus Christ perfectly reflected the love of God for his neighbor and all others. And he asks us and he tells us to do the same when he says, it's all about learning how to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments of love depend all the law and the prophets. Let's sing together Psalm 25, stanza 3.
Glory.
Let us unite together in prayer. Eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that we may know you as a God of grace. You do not give us what we deserve, but you grant us what we do not deserve. Forgiving grace, liberating grace, and healing grace. Having listened to your law of love, you have once again reminded us just how much we need this grace. And so we ask you to remember your mercy and your steadfast love. Remember not our sins and transgressions, according to your steadfast love. Remember us. Thank you for the gift of your word, in which you address and call us to listen to and respond to your voice in obedience of faith. Because you desire communion with us by having us participate in your life in Christ through the Holy Spirit. Thank you that you are present in your word, desiring to draw us into an ever deeper communion with you in Christ through the Spirit. Thank you that in doing so, you want to form our character by having the Lord Jesus Christ form himself in us, so that it is no longer we who live, but Christ Jesus who lives in us. Thank you for the gift of the Lord's Supper, where we can not only hear about your grace, but also see it, touch it, smell it, and taste it. Bless our celebration of the Lord's Supper as we intentionally remember our union with him in his death and resurrection. Bless also the reading and the proclamation of your word. To that end, may the Holy Spirit richly anoint our speaking, our listening, and our remembering. In Jesus' name, amen. Our scripture reading is taken from Luke 8, verse 40 to 48. As we read this, see if you can see the connection between the woman touching the fringe of Jesus' garment and power leaving Jesus' body and our celebration of the Lord's Supper when we eat the bread and drink the wine and power goes forth from the glorified body of Jesus. So that's the connection. Now when Jesus returned, the crowd welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And there came a man named Jairus, who was a ruler of the synagogue. And falling at Jesus' feet, he implored him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter about 12 years of age, and she was dying. As Jesus went, the people pressed around him. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years And though she had spent all her living on physicians, she could not be healed by anyone. She came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment. And immediately her discharge of blood ceased. And Jesus said, "Who was it that touched me?" When all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the crowd surrounds you and are pressing in on you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me, for I perceive that power has gone out from me." And when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him, declared in the presence of all the people why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Let us now turn to 1 Corinthians 11. Our text are the verses 23 to 26, but I'll pick it up at verse 17 just for the immediate context. "But in the following instructions, I do not commend you, because when you come together, it is not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and I believe it in part. For there must be factions among you in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized. When you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat. For in eating, one goes ahead with his own meal, and one goes hungry, another gets drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat? Houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I commend you in this? No, I will not." And the verses that form our text, "For I received from the Lord what I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus on the night when he was betrayed took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you eat, drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" In response to the proclamation of God's word, I'm going to make a little change. That should have been Psalm 105, stanza 2. 105, stanza 2. So the theme for this morning's mini-sermon is, because we so easily forget to live in the light of our union with Christ in his death and resurrection, we need to celebrate the Lord's Supper in remembrance of him. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the last time I was here was December 30th in the afternoon. I pointed out to you the importance of our union with Christ in his death and resurrection. And I said to you that this union with him in his death and resurrection is the secret to living our life of thanksgiving. It is also the secret to living with the whole Christ and not just part of the Lord Jesus Christ. I assume that you have not forgotten what living with part of the Lord Jesus Christ looks like. Living with part of the Lord Jesus means that he determines your past. He died for your sins. But he doesn't determine your present. He doesn't renew your life. He doesn't do in you what he has done for you. And I asked you to examine your prayer life to see whether you lived with only part of Jesus Christ. I said, just ask yourself how forgiveness and renewal play themselves out in your prayer life. How often don't we just thank God that he forgives us our sins? And perhaps we fail to thank God for the renewal of our lives in Christ. We fail to thank God that he does in us, in Christ, what he has done for us in Christ. And I pointed out the importance of our union with Christ in his death and resurrection because, as I said, it is the heart of our life of thankfulness. We offer our lives to God as sacrifices of thanksgiving because the Lord Jesus Christ does not just determine our past. He doesn't just forgive us our sins. Jesus did this in the past, and now we do this in the present. Renewed by the Holy Spirit, of course, but Jesus did this in the past, and now we do this in the present. That's not how we offer our lives of thanksgiving to God. We do it because he also renews our lives. In the present, he does in us what he has done for us. And this renewal, in turn, gives us assurance of faith. We realize that Christ is doing in us what he has done for us. We realize the truth of Galatians 2:20. It is no longer I who live, but Christ Jesus who lives in me. It gives us assurance. And this is how we win our neighbor for the Lord Jesus Christ and the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Others, by the grace of God, encounter the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in us. The one who determines not just our past, but also our present. And the Spirit perhaps uses that to draw these others to Jesus and to the church of the Lord Jesus. Now, because it's so easy to forget, to live our lives in the light of our union with Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ commands the church to celebrate the Lord's Supper in remembrance of him. And I trust that you haven't forgotten what happens when we remember. When we remember, whatever we remember about the past enters into the present, into our consciousness. And it begins to shape our experience of the present, either destructively or unpleasantly. We remember a painful experience, and we experience the pain again. Or it can shape the present in a very constructive manner. We remember enjoyable things, good things, and in remembering, we experience the goodness and the joy again. When we celebrate the Lord's Supper in remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ in faith, something similar happens. The truth of our dying and rising with Christ in his death and resurrection enters into the present in our souls, in our consciousness, and it constructively shapes our present. By the grace of God, we experience the Lord Jesus Christ in us, doing in us what he has done for us. We experience the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, his forgiving grace for the penalty of our sins, his liberating grace for the power of our sins, and his healing grace for the partitions and the pollution of our sins. So we remember the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ enters into the present, into the experience of the present, and we are constructively shaped and formed by that. The discipline of remembering. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ gives us a little picture of what this is like in Luke chapter 8. Christ is on his way to Jairus' house. There's a crowd of people around him. Everybody's kind of like bumping into Jesus and into each other. And there's a woman in the crowd who has been losing blood for some 12 years. And she comes up behind the Lord Jesus Christ. And she touches the edge of Jesus' robe. And a miracle takes place. Immediately the flow of blood stopped. And even though people were bumping into Jesus, Jesus knew that someone had touched him in faith. Faith like someone who had entrusted herself to Jesus for healing. For he felt power flowing from him. This is what happens when we remember our union with Christ in his death and resurrection in faith. When we believe the preaching, that happens. Okay? Just simply believing the preaching. But this also happens when we remember our union with Christ in his death and resurrection at the celebration of the Lord's Supper. Power flows from the glorified body of the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven through the Holy Spirit, enabling you and me to experience Jesus' grace. Forgiving grace, liberating grace, and healing grace. Just like when we eat the bread. Bread nourishes and strengthens. Bread gives power. Just like when you drink the wine or the juice. It nourishes and refreshes. The elements give power because Jesus gives power. And the other metaphor is the woman. Power left Jesus' body when the woman touched Jesus. And Jesus gives us spiritual power so that you and I are able to offer our lives to God as sacrifices of thanksgiving. He gives us power so that you and I experience that it is no longer we who live, but Christ Jesus who lives in us. He gives us power so that our neighbor can recognize Jesus in us and be one for Christ and for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we so easily forget to live in the light of our union with Christ in his death and resurrection, shouldn't surprise us that the Corinthians were also forgetting. And it showed in the divisions in their congregation. The church was divided on social and economic grounds. The wealthy, or the wealthier, were abusing their position and their status, and they were preventing fellowship with the poorer members of the church. And these divisions also manifested themselves in the way they celebrated the Lord's Supper. They didn't celebrate the Lord's Supper together. They had their own meals. Potlucks or love meals in those days. And then somewhere, perhaps near the end of the potluck, they would celebrate the Lord's Supper. But the rich had their own meals. And the poor, well, they went hungry. Maybe they didn't even have any meals, but they sat down for a meal anyway. The rich got drunk. It's another problem. The poor went hungry. And Paul says, look, people, this is not good. This is not good because when you celebrate the Lord's Supper in remembrance of Christ, you are proclaiming the Lord's death. Your union with him in his death and resurrection. You are proclaiming that you have died to the old way of life. And you are proclaiming that you have arisen to a new way of life. And the old way of life is a life of division. Jew and Gentile divided. Rich and poor divided. Slave and free divided. But the new way of life is a life of unity. Jew and Gentile together in the church. Rich and poor, united in the church. Slave and free, united in the church. Christ does not just determine our past, he also determines our present. This is what you do. This is what you proclaim. You are announcing to one another and to anybody who's watching you, you are announcing to one another Every time you celebrate the Lord's Supper, every time you eat the bread and drink the wine in remembrance of Christ until he returns, you are announcing that you have died to the old way of life and risen with Christ to a new way of life. So Paul says, remember your union with Christ in his death and resurrection when you celebrate the Lord's Supper. Allow power to go forth from the glorified body of the Lord Jesus Christ so that you experience his grace, not just forgiveness, but liberation and healing. You experience that it is no longer you who live, but Christ Jesus who lives in you. Because we can so easily forget to live in our union with Christ in his death and resurrection, Paul says the same to us this morning. Your struggles and my struggles are different than the struggles of the Corinthians, at least mentioned in our text. I don't think there's any division in this church or in my life along social and economic lines. But there may be divisions in my life and in your life on other grounds. As a congregation, in your family, in your marriage, as husband and wife. And God wants us to be sorry for that. And he wants us to resolve to better our lives in Christ. He wants us to proclaim that the secret to this change lies in remembering our union with Christ in his death and resurrection. So come, spiritually touch the glorified body of the Lord Jesus Christ as you touch the bread and touch the cup in faith and experience power flowing from the glorified body of Christ as you eat the bread and drink the wine. Amen. So 105, stanza 2. 105, stanza 2. Thank you. I now will read the form for the celebration of the Lord's Supper, which you will find on page 603, the back of the Book of Praise. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Supper has been instituted by our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to the words of this institution as described by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23 to 29, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord.' Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. In order that we may now celebrate this Holy Supper of the Lord to our comfort, we must first rightly examine ourselves. Further, we must use it as Christ intended it, namely, to his remembrance." True self-examination consists of the following three parts. First, let everyone consider his sins and accursedness, so that he, detesting himself, may humble himself before God. For the wrath of God against sin is so great that he could not leave it unpunished, but has punished it in his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, by the bitter and shameful death on the cross. Second, let everyone search his heart, whether he also believes the sure promise of God, that all of his sins are forgiven him only for the sake of the suffering and death of Jesus Christ, and that the perfect righteousness of Christ is freely given him as his own, as if he himself had fulfilled all righteousness. Third, let everyone examine his conscience, whether it is his sincere desire to show true thankfulness to God with his entire life, and laying aside all enmity, hatred, and envy, to live with his neighbor in true love and unity. God will certainly receive in grace all who are thus minded and count them worthy to partake of the supper of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who do not feel this testimony in their hearts eat and drink judgment upon themselves. Therefore, according to the command of Christ and of the Apostle Paul, we admonish all those who know themselves to be guilty of the following offensive sins to abstain from the table of the Lord. And we declare to them that they have no part in the kingdom of Christ. All who refuse to trust in the Lord alone and who serve him in their own manner. All who abuse the name of the Lord by cursing or in any other way. All who do not diligently attend the worship services and who despise the proclamation of God's word or the sanctity of the sacraments. All who are disobedient to their parents or to others in authority over them. All who violate human life or cherish hatred against their neighbor and refuse to be reconciled to him. All who either within or outside of holy wedlock do not keep their bodies pure. All who by stealing, greed, and extravagance lead a worldly life. All liars, backbiters, and slanderers. Briefly, all who either in word or conduct show themselves to be unbelieving by leading an offensive life, while they persist in their sins, they shall not take of this food which Christ has ordained only for his believers. Otherwise, their judgment and condemnation will be the heavier. But all this, beloved brothers and sisters, is not meant to discourage broken and contrite hearts, as if only those who are without sin may come to the table of the Lord. For we do not come to this supper to declare that we are perfect and righteous in ourselves. On the contrary, we seek our life outside of ourselves, in Jesus Christ, and in doing so we acknowledge that we are dead in ourselves. We also are aware of our many sins and shortcomings. We do not have perfect faith, and we do not serve God with such zeal as he requires. Daily we have to contend with the weakness of our faith and with the evil desires of our flesh. Yet by the grace of the Holy Spirit we are heartily sorry for these shortcomings and desire to fight against our unbelief and to live according to all the commandments of God. Therefore, we may be fully assured that no sin or weakness which still remains in us against our will can prevent us from being received by God in grace and from being made worthy partakers of this heavenly food and drink. Let us now consider for what purpose the Lord has instituted the supper. Namely, that we should use it in remembrance of him. We are to remember him in the following manner. First of all, let us fully trust that the Lord Jesus Christ was sent by the Father into this world according to the promises made from the beginning to the fathers in the Old Testament, and that he assumed our flesh and blood. From the beginning of his incarnation to the end of his life on earth, he bore for us the wrath of God, under which we should have perished eternally. By his perfect obedience, he has for us fulfilled all the righteousness of God's law. We remember in particular that the weight of the wrath of God, caused by our sins pressed out of him, sweat like drops of blood, falling on the ground in the Garden of Gethsemane. There he was bound, that he might free us from our sins. He suffered countless insults, that we might never be put to shame. Though innocent, he was condemned to death, that we might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God. He even let his blessed body be nailed to the cross, that he might cancel the bond which stood against us because of our sins. By all this he has taken our curse upon himself, that he might fill us with his blessing. On the cross, he humbled himself in body and soul, to the very deepest shame and anguish of hell. Then he called out with a loud voice, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" That we might be accepted by God and nevermore be forsaken by him. Finally, by his death and the shedding of his blood, he confirmed the new and eternal testament, the covenant of grace, when he said, "It is finished." In order that we might firmly believe that we belong to this covenant of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ, during his last Passover, instituted the Holy Supper. He gave the bread and the cup to his disciples in remembrance of him. He taught us to understand that as often as we eat the bread and drink this cup, we are reminded and assured of his hearty love and faithfulness towards us. It is a sure pledge that he has given his body and shed his blood for us. Otherwise, we would have suffered eternal death. He nourishes and refreshes our hungry and thirsty souls with his crucified body and shed blood to everlasting life, as certainly as the bread is broken before our eyes and the cup is given to us, and we eat and drink in remembrance of him. From this institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, we learn that he directs our faith and our trust to his perfect sacrifice once offered on the cross. It is the only ground for our salvation. Thereby, he has become to our hungry and thirsty souls the true food and drink of life eternal. For by his death, he has removed the cause of our eternal hunger and misery, which is sin, and obtained for us the life-giving Spirit. By this Spirit, who dwells in Christ as the head and in us as his members, we have true communion with him and share in all his riches, life eternal, righteousness, and glory. By the same Spirit, we are also united in true brotherly love as members of one body. For the Apostle Paul says, "Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. As one bread is baked out of many grains and one wine is pressed out of many grapes, so we all, incorporated in Christ by faith, are together one body. For the sake of Christ, who so exceedingly loved us first, we shall now love one another and shall show this to one another, not just in words, but also in deeds." Finally, Christ has commanded us to celebrate the Holy Supper until he comes. We receive at his table a foretaste of the abundant joy which he has promised, and look forward to the marriage feast of the Lamb, when he will drink the wine new with us in the kingdom of his Father. Let us rejoice and give him the glory, for the marriage feast of the Lamb is coming. May the Almighty Heavenly God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ help us in this through his Holy Spirit. Amen. To receive all this, let us now humble ourselves before God in prayer and call upon him in true faith. Merciful God and Father, we thank you that in this supper we cherish the blessed memory of the bitter death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ. Work in our hearts through the Holy Spirit so that we may entrust ourselves more and more to your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant that our contrite hearts may be nourished with his true body and blood. Yes, with him who is the only heavenly bread, that we may not live in our sins, but Christ in us, and we in him. Let us so truly be partakers of the new and everlasting testament, the covenant of grace, that we do not doubt that you will forever be our gracious Father, nevermore imputing to us our sins, but providing us with all things for body and soul as your dear children and heirs. Grant us your grace that we may take up our cross joyfully, deny ourselves, and confess our Savior. Let us in all tribulation await our Lord Jesus Christ, who will come from heaven to change our mortal body to be like his glorified body and take us to himself forever. Hear us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us now, together with the Church of all ages, profess our Catholic and undoubted Christian faith with the words of hymn 1A. While the table is being prepared, you are requested to sing hymn 59.
Thank you.
brothers and sisters, in order that we may now be nourished with Christ, the true heavenly bread, we must not cling with our hearts to the outward symbols of bread and wine, but lift our hearts on high in heaven, where Christ our advocate is, at the right hand of his heavenly Father. Let us not doubt that we shall be nourished and refreshed in our souls with his body and blood through the working of the Holy Spirit, as truly as we receive the holy bread and drink in remembrance of him. The bread that we break is a communion with the body of Christ. Take, eat, remember and believe that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was broken for the complete forgiveness of all of our sins. The cup of blessing for which we give thanks is a communion with the blood of Christ. Take, drink from it, all of you. Remember and believe that the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ was poured out for the complete forgiveness of all of our sins. Let us now sing together hymn 62, stanza 1.
Thank you.
bread that we break is a communion with the body of Christ. Take, eat, remember and believe that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was broken for the complete forgiveness of all of our sins. The cup of blessing for which we give thanks is a communion with the blood of Christ. Take, drink from it, all of you. Remember and believe that the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ was poured out for the complete forgiveness of all of our sins. Let us now sing together hymn 62, stanza 2. The bread that we break is a communion with the body of Christ. Take, eat, remember, and believe that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was broken for the complete forgiveness of all of our sins. The cup of blessing for which we give thanks is a communion with the blood of Christ. Take, drink from it, all of you. Remember and believe that the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ was poured out for the complete forgiveness of all of our sins. Let us now sing together hymn 62, stanza 3. Beloved in the Lord, since the Lord has now nourished our souls at his table, let us together praise his holy name. Let everyone say in his heart, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life. Therefore my heart and my mouth shall proclaim the praise of the Lord from now on and forevermore. Amen. Let us pray and give thanks. Merciful God and Father, we thank you that in your boundless mercy, you have given us your only begotten Son as our mediator. We praise you that he is the sacrifice for our sins and our food and drink to eternal life. We thank you that you give us a true faith, through which we may share in such great benefits. Through your Son, you have instituted the Holy Supper for the strengthening of our faith. We earnestly ask you, faithful God and Father, that by your Holy Spirit, this celebration may lead to our daily increase in true faith and fellowship with Christ, your beloved Son. In his name we pray. Amen. Once the offering has been taken, let us sing our closing song, hymn 61. receive now the blessing of the Lord in faith and share this blessing with those around you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace.